I believe, with all of my heart and soul, that computers should bring us joy. We should be happier, more joyful because of the computers and the gadgets that we have in our life. Because if they don't bring us joy, then what's the point? If computers make us sad, why do we even have them? If video game consoles and little PDAs and other various sundry gadgets just drag us down, we'll chuck them into the waste bin and let's go live in the mountains because we don't need that. But if they bring us joy, can they really be all that bad? And with that in mind, I want to talk about the humane AI pen for a minute. Because this has just come out. This AI pen that you see on the screen before you, a little lapel pen that magnetically sticks to your shirt that you can talk to, and it can see the world around you, and it has all sorts of extremely cool features. It has a laser input system where it projects a 720p, no less, laser image onto whatever's in front of you. Like you can just hold up your hand in front of you. And it can put pictures there, videos there, or the entire user interface there that you can then interact with by moving your hand back and forth and rolling your hand around and touching your fingers, all with a laser projected onto your hand. That's cool. That's cool. Is it useful? I don't know, but it's cool. And it has tons of other features. You can tap on this little lapel pin, which I feel like really wants to be one of the little communicators from Star Trek. You know what I mean? Like they want to be that cool and seamless where you can just tap your chest and go, you know, Geordi, and something happens. But it's not quite there. You have a little touchpad that's essentially a mouse touchpad that you can touch it with one finger or two or swipe on it and whatnot and give it instructions and ask it questions. And those questions are then sent up to the cloud. And this nice young man is out there backpacking around wherever he's backpacking around. And he's got one of these humane AI pens on and he's tapping his button and he's thinking, where in tarnations am I? And you can ask questions and it'll tell you where you're at because it has a camera and it can upload a picture of where you're at to the cloud, meaning to the humane servers. And they have a bunch of large language model, ChatGPT style AI systems running that will analyze pictures and tell you what you're looking at, or send a picture up to their servers so you can look at it later, or take a note for you, or all sorts of different things. It even has a little translator thing where you can hold down a couple of fingers on the thing and say, you know, whatever you want to say and tell it to translate it for you, and it will. That's cool, right? That's a whole lot going on. And it's not even paired to anything, right? This isn't like a smartwatch with a Bluetooth connection to your smartphone. This is a fully standalone device. It's got a cell phone data modem in it. It's actually a phone. You can actually make phone calls with this. So in that way, it is like a Star Trek communicator. There's so much going on here that's interesting. Now, I personally, many of you will know this, I really don't like AI stuff. I don't like it. It doesn't jive right with me. But even I have to admit that the number of random cool pieces of gadgetry that they've stuffed into the AI pen from Humane is cool. Look at this. It's like, what does this mean? Look up a piece of information for me and project it with lasers onto my hand. That's cool. That's just a cool thing to say. Is it a practical thing to say? Is it a fun experience? I don't know. But it's a cool thing to say. Well, Marquis Brownlee came out with a review video of this, and I don't normally talk about review videos, but I feel like it needs to be brought up here, because in that review, he stated flat out that it is the worst product he's ever reviewed, and he very well may be right. It looks atrocious. Let's be honest. If you sat down and pitched this exact idea to me of this little magnetically sealed, extremely heavy lapel pin that sits on your shirt, weighs it down, heats up a whole bunch so you have a small, warm nuclear reactor on your chest, chest, with a cell data going constantly right next to your heart, which definitely isn't going to cause any problems, and you have to wait over your slow, clunky cell signal as audio chunks are uploaded and downloaded to an AI-powered server halfway across the world, so you're waiting forever to do anything, and it's out loud where everyone hears you. You can't have any privacy, and your screen is just a laser thing that you stick on your hand, which means you can't use that hand anyway, so why not just hold a screen in it like a phone? I'm going to shoot this idea down. If I'm a CEO or I'm an investor, I'm going to look at that and go, lot of cool tech, super awesome. No, we're not putting money into this. It's not going to go far. The thing sells for, what was it, like $700, and there's a service contract on top of it, like $25 a month, something like that. And you know what? A lot of people pay more than that per month for their cell phone. A lot of people pay more than that up front to buy their cell phone. So from that point of view, it's not so bad. But as Marky pointed out in his video, that it was a pretty terrible experience. It was slow, it was hot, it was heavy, it just didn't work all that great. The experience wasn't that awesome. The camera quality isn't that good. Like, there just was a lot going against the darn thing that made him not like it and not use it. But as I'm watching Marky Brownlee fumble around and make goofy faces while trying to make this little lapel pin work, and then I go online and I see one comment after another about people actually arguing about this thing. Because some people are like, this is just the stupidest idea ever. And other people are like, what a great idea, but it's done poorly. And other people are still are like, how dare you be against this cool little AI lapel pin? There's so much cool hardware and engineering that went into it. How dare you talk badly about it? Like, it's all over the place. And people feel passionately about it. And I love that. That's fantastic. Because people are getting excited about it. And will this particular gadget live on in infamy? I don't know. I don't know. But so many of the worst pieces of hardware over the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years have lived on, have cemented themselves, not just in our popular culture, but in our hearts. And I just want to give you a few examples. Because sometimes the worst gadgets, the worst computers, the worst electronic awesomeness are the best, are the things that we remember the most fondly. Like, for example, the Virtual Boy. Remember the Virtual Boy? Nintendo's console from the early 90s where you stick it on your face and it projects with two little tiny screens, just bright red images of vector graphics flashing at high intensity, theory potentially causing people seizures. It got ripped off the market real fast. It never had that many games for it. And I'm here to tell you right now, I have one. I have pretty much every game made for it because they're not exactly expensive. Well, with one or two exceptions, they're not very expensive to pick up. It's terrible. It's awful. It is such a pain in the neck to use. Literally, it you stick your head in it and it's heavy and clunky. So you can strap it to your head, but it's so heavy and clunky, you can't really strap it to your head. That just doesn't work. You have to put it on this little stand and put it on a table and kind of lean over and crane your neck into a weird position. And it is incredibly uncomfortable to use. It gives you a headache after you use it for a while. The controls aren't that hot and it just isn't that great. It's just not a great system. And by saying it's not a great system, I am doing it a bit of a disservice because it's a terrible system. It's poorly designed. It's poorly executed. The concept didn't make sense, at least not at the time. Now, a lot of people could say, well, it was ahead of its time. Look at the Apple Vision Pro and the Oculus. That's a headphone I just smashed off my head. And the Oculus headset and all the other things. I got excited there. And how the Virtual Boy was simply ahead of its time. And maybe it was. But at the time, it was terrible. And because of how terrible it was, and there were some decent games for it. But how, and speaking of which, if you like Virtual Boy games, you can now get a Virtual Boy emulator for a Nintendo 3DS. So you can play the best of the Virtual Boy games and make them look way better than they ever looked on the Virtual Boy and play better too. Now on just a standard screen, it's a way better experience. But the Virtual Boy itself was a disaster, and it looks ridiculous, and it brings us joy. It brings me joy. I love pulling out the Virtual Boy and setting it up for people and letting them experience the Virtual Boy first for the first time. People are like, wow, I've heard of this. I've heard about the seizure-causing red flashing light Nintendo console that gives you a neck ache. Can I try it? And people get so excited about it. Do people end up playing it for hours on end? No, never. Never. I've never brought it out for someone and had them go, yeah, I gotta play this game forever. No, they play it for, 15, 20 minutes and they're done. It was terrible. But they're always done with a smile on their face because they're like, cool, I got to play the Virtual Boy. Or speaking of Nintendo, the Power Glove. The Power Glove. It's so bad. And oh my gosh. It's a particular moment in time that design aesthetic of that Power Glove controller, it really resonated with everybody. I wanted one. I didn't have one at the time. I didn't get to play with one until later. And when I did, I realized something. It's terrible. It is a terrible experience playing 99% of all video games with this stupid Power Glove. It doesn't feel that great on your hand. It fits all kind of funky. It's not that great to use. The controls aren't very good. It just isn't a good experience. It was a bad idea. You know it was a bad idea because Nintendo never came out with the Super Power Glove. They never came out later with Power Glove 3.0. No. They just like, okay, let's move on from there. Sure, they might have had some interesting ideas, but that was bad. No. We're going to stop doing the Power Glove thing. Now, you could make the argument that later on with the Nintendo Wii and other things, they used different types of handheld and motion controllers, and that harkens back to the Power Glove. But realistically, as a product, as a gadget, the Power Glove was terrible. But how much joy does that bring you? Like, when you see the Power Glove, does that not make you smile? I mean, look at that Power Glove. That just brings you right back to that late 80s, early 90s design aesthetic and that super coolness and playing Nintendo Entertainment System. Oh, man, the Power Glove was rad. Terrible, but rad. Or just in terms of just stupid blunders, think about the Apple mouse. The mouse that was so poorly thought out, in order to charge it, you got to flip it over on its back, stop using it, and plug it in a really cumbersome way. I mean, we've been making fun of the Apple mouse for a couple of years now. People, when Apple was working on their electric car before they abandoned that concept, there was people joking constantly about how you'd flip the Apple car over and put it on its back and plug it in on the bottom of it in order to charge it, right? Because of the Apple mouse. It brings us joy. Is it a terrible design for a piece of computer hardware? Yeah, it's stupid. And what's incredibly stupid is Apple had been making mice for 40 years, almost 40 years at this point. Holy heavens. I mean, Apple, of all companies, should know how to make a mouse at this point. I mean, they started shipping mice with DALISA, for criminy's sake. And they've made some mice, and they've made some great mice, and they've made lots of mice. They know how to make a mouse. And then with the Magic Mouse, they just decided to do a stupid. They just decided to just drop their brain on the floor, step on it, and then make a mouse because they forgot. You flip it over and charge it. Again, terrible. Worst gadget. Possibly one of the worst mouse designs ever. And there have been some dumb mouse designs. But the fact that it exists brings me joy. It brings me a tremendous joy. Or last one, just to give you another example, the Nokia N-Gage. Classic example of just simply a failed product. It was a smartphone, sort of, but a cell phone. and a game console all in one, right? It had a little D-pad and you used some of the raised number buttons for your A and B buttons, and you could play games on it, right? And it did not go well. It did not go well at all. The games weren't that hot. The form factor wasn't that great. But what really got the Nokia N-Gage sunk was how you had to hold it when you were making a phone call. Because of where the speaker was and everything, it created this concept called side talking, where you literally had to hold it like you were shoving the top of it in your ear, and you kind of had to hold it so it was like flailing out. You had to hold it on what would seem to be its side. You can't put the front of it against your ear, so you can hold it like you would a phone. And so people made fun of it mercilessly. It created an entire genre of early, and I hate to use the word, but memes, but funny pictures where people were posting pictures online of them side-talking with all sorts of things. People would pick up a computer tower, hold it on its side, and smash it against their head, right? Just as awkwardly as possible. Side-talking. You can find pictures. Look up side-talking on pretty much any search engine. Nokia N-Gage side talking. You'll find picture after picture after picture of that. And you know what? Did the Nokia N-Gage succeed? No. Was it poorly designed? Yes, absolutely. Was it a bad phone and a bad gaming system? Yes, it was. Speaking as someone who spent a lot of time playing with them, it sucked. It sucked as a gaming system and a phone for the time it came out. It was terrible. It was not well conceived. It was not well designed. It was not well released. It was clearly not even that well product tested. But how much worse would our lives be if it had never existed? I mean, think about this realistically. If the Nokia N-Gage, the Apple Magic Mouse, the Nintendo Power Glove, and the Nintendo Virtual Boy all went away today, our lives would be less filled with joy, less wonder, less merriment, less just pure joy and happiness. Right? These are great things. These are some of the worst gadgets ever. And there's plenty more. I'm sure you can think of several right off the top of your head, but we had to draw the line somewhere. And they're all great, right? Some of the worst things ever bring us joy. So when Marky goes out there and reviews the humane AI pin, oh my heavens. Oh, look how happy this mom is. She's got one on her lapel there. Oh, look at all the things you can do with it. Oh, I'm outside. I got a text message, but I didn't get it on my cell phone. I got it on my laser printed image on my hand. I mean, is it good? No, it doesn't seem like a good experience. Is it cool? Yeah, it's cool. Is it infinitely make fun of-able? Yes. Now, what the real question is will it be so disastrous and so hilariously disastrous that it will enter the commonality of our common let's make fun of this gadget psyche that we have? Like the Virtual Boy, like the N-Gage, like the Apple upside down charging Magic Mouse. Something where we end up making fun of it years, if not decades later, because of how hilariously bad it is. Will it get that far? I don't know. I think it has the potential. Look at that guy. He's like, I'm touching my lapel pin. It's kind of cool. It's kind of terrible. Woo, catch me up. And look at, is it great? I don't know. I think we're going to be making fun of this one for a while. My sincere hope is that enough people have bought this, that they post the pictures of their experience online for all of us to truly enjoy and make fun of. Because yes, it's expensive. Yes, it's probably poorly conceived. Yes, it probably does have some amazing engineering packed into it. But the terribleness of it all, the badness of it all, the slow AI responses, the weird clunky behavior, the overheating nuclear reactor hanging off of the front of your shirt and banging against your chest all day long, that deserves to enter the popular psyche, right? That is whimsical. That is whimsically, annoyingly delicious. I love it so much. So I hope that the humane AI gadget is one of those. I truly do. The really sad part about this is, unlike many of the other things we just talked about, like the Virtual Boy, when this company fails and I believe it will pretty shortly, the service goes away and the product stops working, right? This little thing isn't something that can work offline. It needs to be not only be online, so that all the current wireless standards need to currently be working, but their company needs to be in business with the current versions of their server functioning. Otherwise, this becomes just a weird little heated magnetic brick hanging off the front of a shirt, which maybe is funny all by itself. All right, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, nerds and nerdettes across the inner tubes, I do declare and broadcast.